हरि ओ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Krishna Sandarbha Adhyayana 4 Adhikarna 1 Description of Goloka, the eternal abode of Krishna. Page 11. O Krishna, you said in the maternity room, I have been manifest to you in several other yugas. Krishna, I said I was born since I entered and then came out of your body. This is not a material birth from a body, right? Because he enters as super soul. And then he comes out as a child. So he doesn't, he's not born like everybody else. But the point is, since he comes from the body, then he, you can consider like that. But he's in everybody's body. Just like Hanuman. Then I think it was, who was it? One of the demonesses or something. Big demoness. Big fight. And then he, when she opened her mouth, he became really small and flew through her mouth and out. And she said,
Simhika.
Was that the one in the ocean?
Yes.
Yeah, big monster in the ocean. So then he said, you know, now that I come from your body, so then, you know, I'm like your son. You should treat me like that. And then they just started dealing like that. It was cool. So he went on. And Lanky didn't seem to catch the move.
So... got a slap just like we read the passage.
Yeah, yes, got one slap.
Back to normal.
Yes. As friend of the jivas, I enter as the antaryami in all bodies, individually and as a whole. Right, so individually he's in everybody, but as a whole he's also, because he's in everybody's. So you can say there's the general, but then he's also, it's individual, is that how he's seeing, how he's dealing with each soul. But as a general rule, he's in everybody. Yeah. Tam dur darsham gudham anu pravishtam guha hitam gahvareshtam purana. The Lord enters into the depths of the heart, and it's hard to see. He is eternal. Katupanishad 1.2.12. Tat shrishtva tad evanu pravishtat. No, pravishat. Having manifested the jivas in the world, I enter them. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.6.2. This is the meaning of my being born, since it is seen everywhere in scriptures. Right? So he's saying that's what it means. He's in the heart, and so then it becomes out and manifests outside the body like that. Then you can take it that he's been born. Right? Vasudeva answers, like the sky you do not associate, since it is said, Swakrita vichitra yonishu vishan iha hetutaya taratamatas chakasi. Apparently entering among the variegated species of living beings you have created, you reveal your Shakti in them to various degrees. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.19. Right, so he enters into every living entity, and then according to their karma and that, they have a particular body that manifests certain energies and Shaktis. Right? They have some ability to some degree. Right? You know, like we were saying before, you have a big politician, but his ability in politics is coming from Krishna. Krishna's in the heart, and so then he sanctions that a much potency to work. So some are there, they can get a little bit done, some you know, are a laughing stock, some of them are very serious. Some of them are very, stuck on the rules. Someone is very much of a leader. All of that comes from Krishna. Yeah, so when you ever see this leader, they're big, people like, or that, or, whatever it is that they're doing, that's Krishna. Or a general in the army, how he's very powerful and get things done. So all the outstanding people in history that we met, that's just Krishna's potency in them. The Shakti is manifest to a certain degree, just like in the Shakti of Esha avatars, it's in a much bigger degree compared to us. It's small compared to him, but it's a much bigger degree. And they're coming to represent the Lord, so therefore Shakti Avesha. They represent that Shakti. Well, for the living entities, it's just karma how much they have. Yes?
Maharaj, can we say that in Vishnumurti, we're speaking Vibhinamsa, but if we talk about Swamsa, can we say it's the same principle working there?
Yes, you can, but full power is there, it's just how much they manifest. So you go by what they manifest. But the point is being Vishnu, then all the qualities are there. It means if it's Vishnumurti, it has how you say, it has, he has the potential to manifest up to, 92%?
Yes,
60 qualities. But because in this pastime he's only doing this, he'll only manifest that much. Though he has the full powers. It's just like in the Chaturvyuha, then Shakra, Shamprajumna, Adiruddha have all the six opulences, but they only display prominently two each.
Right.
So two, 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 but then Vasudeva displays all six.
Yeah.
So that's there. Though it's Krishna, so if he wants, he can manifest the other, but he generally only does that in connection with Vrindavan. So we see outside of Vrindavan, Vaikuntha, then Vishnu manifests those aspects of the 64 with Gopakumar, because he's a Brajvasi.
Yeah.
Otherwise, to others, he wouldn't. So it's only Brajvasis only see the 64.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. But otherwise, to anyone else outside of Vrindavan, 60 is the fullest. But how much of that, at what time, in what situation, that will make. And accordingly, then it will be, then what is it you said, Vilas and Prakash, or Vaibhava and Prakash, or you were saying about potency. You had
Vaibhava and Prabhava.
Prabhava. Vaibhava, Prabhava. How much is shown? The Aveshas, then in comparison it's very little, but compared to us it's something very great. So therefore Prichumars and how to administrate, like that, or four Kumaras and knowledge and Jnana, like that. And so then it's very great, because you see in that chapter, I think it's 87, with the personified Vedas, I think that starts off with Kumaras talking, unless that's another chapter, it might be. That's one of the ones after that. But they're all on Jhana Loka, and not all the great sages. And so then it's one of the Kumaras is the one who's speaking. So when it comes to knowledge, and they're considered. Because they're also firstborn, right? They're the firstborn, so they'll be the senior. After Brahma, they'll technically be the senior most living entities in the universe. As sons of Brahma, of the sons of Brahma, they're the senior most. They're not Prajapatis, but they're the senior most.
Yeah.
They're till the complete lifetime of Brahma?
Yeah, yeah. All the Prajapatis, I think, are a lifetime.
What is called Chiranjeev?
Yes, Chiranjeev. Like that. You also have a few others, Jambavan is like that. A few others, I think, Hanuman. Like that. Markandeya?
Yes.
Yeah, Markandeya. But otherwise, then all the 10 sons of Brahma, and I think then the Vajapatis, then the next generation, and that they're all Chiranjeev. That's just natural. Then after that, then maybe an individual might be, but otherwise. Because someone like, let's say, Arjuna, they're always in the pastime, so it's always Narayan Rishi. But then they'll as Krishna and Arjuna, they'll appear and disappear, and like this kind of thing. These others, they're just always around. I think Nara and Narayan are always around.
Yeah, Badri.
In Badri. I think they're always around, since they're being in creation and doing austerities for the benefit of the universe.
Yeah. They are holding. They are holding everything.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's a common saying in India that unless there are like qualified people, enough pious and qualified people, the world won't run. Not possible for them.
Yeah. Yeah, that was I can't remember who made the point. I think it was about maybe Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, about Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Because some may say, well, he just sat under his boat and chanted. He didn't, you know, preach or anything like that. But he made the point, no, because of his preaching, therefore, then the whole world had the opportunity they could become because of his potency. Just by his potency, then the opportunity is there to take up Krishna consciousness.
And also later on we see that the whole purpose of material world is for the living entity to reform and go back. So unless there are devotees, it will never happen.
True, because without devotees, without association, you can't go back. So it has to be devotees.
Otherwise then it will be like inside Lord Mahavishnu. Everybody will be in Vasudeva,
Sattva. Yeah.
Yeah. You say inside, it's like in the sight of a big fish or something. When you say inside of a vision, it's like, seems like a big fish, you know, you are inside, and you get out from there.
Yeah, but he's much bigger than that. Yeah, it's because he lies down in the causal ocean. And so the Mahatta is, he's one quarter the size of the cosmic manifestation.
It's like those huge whales, you know, when they're breathing.
Yeah, just like that, tons of disappearing.
She can go inside.
Yeah, everything goes inside. Yeah. Yes. Entering the various bodies of jiva, you then leave. Continue, you enter and leave. Who can understand the maya of your bhumnaha, special powers or vibhutis?
Leave? It means when they die?
Leave. Yeah, it means when the super soul leaves, the soul leaves, and that's when you call death.
When he enters and leaves, It's not like that. It's normal one. So he enters when we are born, and then he lives. We die when he lives.
Yes. When he enters, then you know, because there has to be a super soul, otherwise how will everything function? That the jiva is there, then there'll be life symptoms. But how are those? Where's the power for those symptoms coming from? That's coming from Krishna, right? So when super soul enters, then you have life, and it's when he leaves, and then they die. That's why you see is that, let us say, for someone, it means you'll have different, the same accident. Some people die, some people don't. You know? So that's the thing. It's not necessarily what happens to them. It's whether it's time to go. If it's time, then the super soul and the soul leave, and so then there's death. Like Ravana pierced him with his tusk. Like, you know, elephant tusks are big. You know, his male elephant tusk went right straight through. So he has a hole in his chest. Big hole, you can see right through it. And, you know, out of pride and all that, he's made a gold ring, you know, means whatever it is, however it's the depth that's there, and the size, a gold ring that on the inside is like encrusted with gems, so it's just full of gems. And he, you know, in the morning after his bed, he puts that in, you know, it's just as a decoration, so, you know, he's fine, so.
It's like nowadays they pierce the ear and put
Yeah, that big ring. So there it's just it's, you know, that would be right. You can see the guy walking down the beach, you know, like that. You know.
Next level.
Yeah, that's definitely next level. Next level of piercing. Wow, what shop did you do that in?
also here, the point of continually entering and leaving is from the samasthi perspective. And there are a lot of living entities, somebody always dying, somebody always...
Always leaving, yeah, yeah. It's always constantly going on. But at the same time it's mentioned, it's just Kiradakshaya Vishnu.
Yeah.
It's just one person. It's not many, many persons. It's still the same one person has expanded in that. So everywhere it's all Kiradakshaya Vishnu.
Okay. Who can understand? No one can. Your birth from us is praised by all. Let the wise persons adoring you be the proof. But you are beyond my intelligence completely. It is not illogical to say that vidadhat du means enter. It is said in the commentary on Sahasranama, Shishtan Karoti du the learned means that he protects the learned. Normal verbs sometimes have special meaning. Kuru kashtani, do the sticks, means bring the sticks. It has been shown that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan and is situated eternally in a human form, which is the Supreme Brahman. In the first canto, the earth shows the eternal intrinsic nature of the Lord's beauty, power of mind, power of knowledge, senses, and power of actions, senses. Okay, so then, what do you call it? Aniruddha would be power of mind, power of knowledge senses would be Sankarshan, and power of action senses would be Prajumna. Brahmananda Purana, speaking of Krishna's human form, says, Nanda Raja Jananandi Satchidananda Vigraha Navanita Vilitangi Navanita Nato Nagaha. Krishna gives bliss to the people of Braja. He has a form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. He has butter smeared on his body. He dances to obtain butter, O sinless one. Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vididhati Kaman Tam pitagam ye nu bhajanti dhiras tesham siddhi shasvati netaresham. The Lord is the eternal among eternals, and the conscious being among all conscious beings. He is one amongst many and satisfies their prema. The wise who worship him in his abode achieve eternal bliss and not others. Gopaltapani Upanishad 1:20. Isn't it also in another Upanishad?
Yeah.
But it's a different
verse. I think the beginning is the same.
Yes. The first line.
Sveteshwar Upanishad.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because Prabhupada's always quoting it.
First two lines is the same.
Same. Then after.
Oh.
This verse also shows approval of Krishna worship. Because of his eternal nature, others have eternal nature. He gives the consciousness to beings that have consciousness. Tam ekam govindam satchidananda vigraham. I praise that one Govinda with an eternal body of knowledge and bliss. Gopal Tapani Upanishad 1:34. Viti. Having concluded the discussion on the transcendental form of Krishna, the author next elaborates that the places of pastimes of Krishna are also eternal, and they are situated as the topmost place in Vaikuntha. Thus, both the forearm and the two-arm forms of Krishna are eternal. His places of pastimes are also eternal. Ya yata bhuvi vartante puryo bhagavata priya tas tata shanti vaikunte tadta lilartam adharita. Just as the dear towns of the Lord exist on earth, they exist in glory in Vaikuntha for his pastimes. Skanda Purana. The places of Vaikuntha also exist on earth. The places of Krishna are in the upper portion of Vaikuntha. After describing Krishna as the ninth among the 10 avatars, Padma Purana describes the various abodes. which is surrounded by Kunta in the spiritual sky. Krishna's abode is in the upward direction, as opposed to east, west, etc., around Vaikuntha. Thus, it is situated as the topmost place, right? Because you'll have the eight directions, right? Then you have below that, and you have above that. So that we get the ten. So Krishna's is above. Then the Vaikunthas will be around. I'm not sure what is given
Buddha
is below.
Buddha.
Oh.
The Dashavatara.
Okay, then he's down. Okay. Thus it is situated as the topmost place. In Agamas as well, the abodes are described in the different directions around Vaikuntha.
Kalki, I don't know, sorry.
Kalki.
Buddha is one of the eight directions.
Okay, then Kalki. Okay. We, however, maintain that Krishna's abode is independent, since that is also stated in scriptures. It is included among the surrounding places in Vaikuntha, Avarana, in Padma Purana, since it is within the spiritual sky. The statements in Padma Purana are secondary to the statements in Bhagavatam, however. In Swayambhuva Agama also, Krishna's abode is described as placed above all others. In the 85th chapter, concerning meditation on the 14th syllable mantra, in the discussion between Shiva and Devi, it is said, The pure person should in sequence meditate on all of this. He should remember pervasive Vaikuntha filled with various desire creepers. Below is Prakriti, the cause of everything, with the gunas in a peaceful state. The gunas and elements in sequence become differentiated from Prakriti. One should remember the planet of Brahma below that, where Brahma lives. O Parvati, above, at the edge of Prakriti, is the unlimited, beautiful Viraja, which flows with water from the perspiration of the Lord, whose limbs are the Vedas. One should meditate on the Devata in the Viraja. Viraja.
Yeah.
In the Viraja, it's Mahavishnu.
Karandakashaya Vishnu, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's the deva in the viraja.
Oh.
I mean, he's lying on the viraja, so I guess that means he's the deva. You should meditate on him. One should meditate on the blissful place of the celibate pasasis, the spiritual sky in which the devatas are eternal. One should then meditate on the planets of Aniruddha, Pradyumna, Sankarsana, and Vasudeva in order. One should meditate on their rulers. One should meditate on the pure Yamuna River, dense with sweet creepers, served by various animals, giving the happiness of all seasons, giving joy to all beings, dark like a blue lotus, rippled by the gentle breeze, fragrant with Vrindavan pollen, dear to Krishna with bowers on its banks, with a pavilion for pastimes, with the gopis floating in the middle, with golden lotuses on its banks. One should meditate on Vrindavan, the abode of pastimes, ornamented with various trees and birds, colored with ever-fresh flowers, filled with happiness, described by words like excellent bliss and giving joy to the self, embraced by the chirping of various colorful birds, decorated with the humming of intoxicated bees on creepers, shining with various jewels, surrounded by Chintamani, filled with patterns of moonlight, endowed with flowers and fruits of all seasons, splendid with new buds everywhere, constantly quivering in the breeze which touched Jamuna's water. He should meditate on an excellent jeweled pavilion, cherished for pastimes, beautifully constructed, giving joy to the three worlds, in the center of Vrindavana, where two trees join together, there on an attractive throne made of various gems, diffusing bliss, shining with Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, decorated with the crowns of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. One should meditate on the youth wearing yellow cloth, filled with intense prema, having a dark complexion. He is the abode of beauty, absorbed in an ocean of joy arising from rasa and pastimes, an ocean of happiness, shining like a new cloud with splendid curling hair. Udvriti. Srila Prabhupada elaborates on this topic in Chaitanya Charitamrita as follows. Sri Gokula, the highest of all, is also called Braja, Goloka, Svetadvip, and Vrindavan. So it's also called Svetadvip. So it seems that Svetadvip just means, you know, it has a, can be a general category, specific. Like the transcendental body of Lord Krishna, Gokula is all-pervading, infinite and supreme. It expands both above and below without any restriction. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 5:17-18, purport. Srila Jiva Goswami.
After 22. After 22 verses.
4, 5. Oh, okay, so then all of these, then he just gives purports on.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So these are all just Prabhupada's purports on that.
Yeah, the 5-6 verses, it explains the whole Goloka, its position, everything very nicely.
Okay.
It's good, huh?
Srila Jiva Goswami, the great authority and philosopher in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has discussed the abode of Krishna in his Krishna Sandarbha. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord refers to my abode. Srila Jiva Goswami, examining the nature of Krishna's abode, refers to the Skanda Purana, which states, Ya yata bhuvi vartante puryo bhagavatah priyaha tas tata shanti vaikunte tadta lingartam adhita. The abodes of Godhead in the material world, such as Dwarka, Mathura, and Gokula, are facsimiles representing the abodes of Godhead in the kingdom of God, Vaikuntha Dham. The unlimited spiritual atmosphere of that Vaikuntha Dham is far above and beyond the material cosmos. This is confirmed in the Swayambhuva Tantra, in a discussion between Lord Shiva and Parvati regarding the effect of chanting the mantra of 14 syllables. There it is stated, Nana kalpa lata kirnam vaikuntam vyapakam smaret adha samyam gunanam cha prakriti sarva karanam. While chanting the mantra, one should always remember the spiritual world, which is very extensive and full of desire trees that can yield anything one desires. Below that Vaikuntha region is the potential material energy which causes the material manifestation. End quote. The places of the pastimes of Lord Krishna, such as Dwarka, Mathura, and Vrindavan, eternally and independently exist in Krishna Loka. They are the abodes of Lord Krishna, and there is no doubt that they are situated above the material cosmic manifestation. The abode known as Vrindavan, or Gokul, is also known as Goloka. The Brahma Samhita states that Gokula, the highest region of the kingdom of God, resembles a lotus flower with thousands of petals. The outer portion of that lotus-like planet is a square place called Svetadvip. In the inner portion of Gokula, there is an elaborate arrangement for Sri Krishna's residence with his eternal associates such as Nanda and Yashoda. That transcendental abode exists by the energy of Sri Baladev, who is the original whole of Sesha or Ananta. The Tantra has also confirmed this description by stating that the abode of Sri Anantadev, a plenary portion of Baladev, is called the Kingdom of God. Vrindavan Dham is the innermost abode within the quadrangle realm of Svetadvip, which lies outside the boundary of Gokula Vrindavan. According to Jiva Goswami, Vaikuntha is also called Brahma Loka. Yeah, because then you have in the Sannyasa Upanishad, it talks about Brahma Loka. That's what you see. Is that for the karmis, Brahma Loka will mean Brahma's planet, because that's the highest you can get with karma. Yogis are basically karmis, right? Just on a mystical platform. Then for the impersonalists, they'll take Brahma Loka as meaning just Brahman, right there. But for the devotees, they know Brahma Loka means the planets, the transcendental planets. Mm. Like that. According to Jiva Goswami, Vaikuntha is also called Brahma Loka. Narada Pancharatra, in a statement concerning the mystery of Vijaya, describes Tat sarvo pari go loke tatra loko pari swayam viharet paramanandi govindo tula nayakaha. The predominator of the gopis, Govinda, the principal deity of Gokula, always enjoys himself in a place called Goloka, in the topmost part of the spiritual sky. From the authoritative evidence cited by Jiva Goswami, we may conclude that Krishna Loka is the supreme planet in the spiritual sky, which is far beyond the material cosmos. For the enjoyment of transcendental variety, the pastimes of Krishna there have three divisions, and these pastimes are performed in the three abodes, Dwarka, Mathura, and Gokula. When Krishna descends to this universe, he enjoys the pastimes and places of the same name. These places on earth are non-different from those original abodes, for they are facsimiles of those original holy places in the transcendental world. They are as good as Sri Krishna himself and are equally worshipful. Lord Chaitanya declared that Lord Krishna, who presents himself as the son of the kingdom of Vraja, is worshipable, and that Vrindavan Dham is equally worshipable. Next verse. That abode is manifest within the material world by the will of Lord Krishna. It is identical to that original Gokula. They are not two different bodies, right? So facsimile just means it's exactly the same. That's the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 5:19 purport. The above mentioned dhammas are movable by the omnipotent will of Lord Krishna. When Sri Krishna appears on the surface of the earth, he can also make his dhammas appear without changing their original structure. One should not discriminate between the dhammas on earth and those in the spiritual sky, thinking those on earth to be material and the original abodes to be spiritual. All of them are spiritual. Only for us, who cannot experience anything beyond matter in our present conditioned state, do the dhammas and the Lord himself in his archa form appear before us resembling matter. To give us the facility to see spirit with material eyes. In the beginning, this may be difficult for a neophyte to understand, but in due course, when one is advanced in devotional service, it will be easier, and he will appreciate the Lord's presence in these tangible forms. Yeah, so we can't see the transcendental, but all the energy is Krishna, so it's also him, not different. So he can manifest through his external energy. And since we have eyes made of material energy, we can see material energy. You know, and it'll be energy that we can see. You know, it's just like, you know, dogs can hear things we can't. So it's going to be in the range we can see and appreciate. And so then it's non-different from the Lord. It is the Lord. But we can see him because we can see material energy. Does that make sense? But it's directly the Lord. Does that make sense? So the Dham is the same. Yeah. The land there, next verse. The land there is Touchstone, Chintamani. And the forests abound with desire trees. Material eyes see it as an ordinary place. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 5:20. Purport. By the grace of the Lord, his dhammas and he himself can all be present simultaneously without losing their original importance. Only when one fully develops in affection and love of Godhead can one see those dhammas in their original appearance. And so when one comes to that transcendental position, and one's qualified, then we can see in their proper. But otherwise, then one won't see. It means one can appreciate, but one won't see. And, you know, it's like Bhaktivinoda Thakur was seeing from his place, the temple, you know, looking across the river to this side. He was seeing the big temple. He was seeing all the devotees with their veenas, you know, playing and dancing and singing and, you know, all these kind of things going on. Like that. Otherwise, at that time, it would have just been grass.
This area was famous for the grassy of Dutch Hutswitz. It grows here, really good quality.
Well, yes, still in Gouranagar, where there are no buildings, you can see that grass is very high.
Yeah, so it's just, it was known, famous for that. So that's just all it was. So from that's what was here. But he was seeing, you know, the whole spiritual city of Mayapur. Purport. By the grace of the Lord, his Dhammas and he himself can be present simultaneously without losing their original importance. Only when one fully develops an affection and love of Godhead can one see those Dhammas in their original appearance. Srila Narottam Das Thakur, a great Acharya in the preceptorial line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has said for our benefit that one can perfectly see the Dhammas only when one completely gives up the mentality of lording it over material nature. When spiritual vision develops proportionally to one's giving up the debased mentality of unnecessarily enjoying matter. That's right, unnecessarily enjoying matter. A diseased person who has become diseased because of a certain bad habit must be ready to follow the advice of the physician. And as a natural sequence, he must attempt to give up the cause of the disease. Yeah, it's always the problem. Something that you really like, that's the thing that makes you sick, and then the doctor tells you you can't, you know, do or eat what it is that you like to do because that's the one that made you sick. Okay? So one has to be willing to give those up. The patient cannot indulge in the bad habit and at the same time expect to be cured by the physician. Modern materialistic civilization, however, is maintaining a diseased atmosphere. The living being is a spiritual spark, as spiritual as the Lord himself. The only difference is that the Lord is great and the living entity is small. Qualitatively, they are one, but quantitatively, they are different. Therefore, since the living being is spiritual in constitution, he can be happy only in the spiritual sky, where there are unlimited spiritual spheres called Vaikunthas. A spiritual being conditioned by a material body must therefore try to get rid of his disease instead of developing the cause of his disease. Foolish persons engrossed in their material assets are unnecessarily proud of being leaders of the people, but they ignore the spiritual value of man. Right? So the soul has potential, like it said, that as they develop that loving, develops when fully develops an affection and love of Godhead can he see those Dhammas in their original appearance. So because the soul is spiritual, and on that same qualitative level of spiritual as the Lord and the Tom, then when one comes to that, from that perspective, one can see. It's not required to use the material senses to see that. But if one's not on that, then we're seeing everything with the material senses. Then the Lord appears in that material energy, you know, in his authorized forms and the temples and everything. Yeah. Such illusion leaders make plans covering any number of years, but they can hardly make humanity happy in a state conditioned by the threefold miseries inflicted by material nature. One cannot control the laws of nature by any amount of struggling. One must at last be subjected to death, nature's ultimate law. Death, birth, and old age and illness are symptoms of the diseased condition of the living being. The highest aim of human life should therefore be to get free from these miseries and go back home, back to Godhead. Okay, next verse. But with the eyes of love of Godhead, one can see its real identity as the place where Lord Krishna performs his pastimes with the cowherd boys and cowherd girls. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 5:21. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending cows, yielding all desires, in abodes built with spiritual gems, and surrounded by millions of purpose trees.
He is always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 5.22 purport. This is the verse from the Brahma Samhita 5.29. The description of the abode of Krishna gives us definite information of the transcendental place where not only is life eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge, but there are ample vegetables, milk, jewels, and beautiful homes and gardens tended by lovely damsels who are all goddesses of fortune. Krishna Loka is the topmost planet in the spiritual sky, and below it are innumerable spheres, a description of which can be found in Srimad Bhagavatam. In the beginning of Lord Brahma's self-realization, he was shown a transcendental vision of the Vaikuntha spheres by the grace of Narayana. Later, by the grace of Krishna, he was shown a transcendental vision of Krishna Loka. This transcendental vision is like the reception of television from the moon via a mechanical system for receiving modulated waves, but it is achieved by penance and meditation within oneself. Because the waves come from Krishna, and so then the soul being there can then, if he qualifies, then can perceive. Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, states that in Vaikuntha, the material modes of nature, represented by the qualities of goodness, passion, and ignorance, have no influence. In the material world, the highest qualitative manifestation is goodness, which is characterized by truthfulness, mental equilibrium, cleanliness, control of the senses, simplicity, essential knowledge, faith in God, scientific knowledge, and so on. Nevertheless, all these qualities are mixed with passion and imperfection. But the qualities of Vaikuntha are a manifestation of God's internal potency, and therefore they are purely spiritual and transcendental, with no trace of material infection. Right, so there the mode of goodness, the pure goodness, is what is the what everything functions. So all the good qualities, all the good traits, all that is just inherent in the residence of the spiritual world. So that they all function on that platform. Here in the material world, then you have the reflection of that, you know, the material mode of goodness. So the same qualities are there, but the problem is here being touched by the mode of passion. Then they, and ignorance, then they don't give the same effect. But they're still the most useful to use in devotional service, because that's what is used in the spiritual world. Spiritual world, they use those qualities to serve Krishna, right? It means that some of it, potency means the qualities and which you use to perform practical action, right? Sandhini will be the facilities and the places and the in the static state, then in the dynamic, that's the sambit. Yeah? Yeah. So that's why then it's recommended that you function in goodness. But it's not a prerequisite for devotional service, because when you say goodness here, it's still material. So the spiritual world, that's pure goodness, because that's based on devotion. So therefore, if one is trying to express the devotion, even if you're not situated in goodness, it still can be expressed, because the soul, its nature is to be functioning in that platform. So from the platform of devotion, then we see with time, as one gets purified, then all these qualities of Shuddha Sattva become manifest. That's why I said they have, the pure devotee has all the qualities of the demigods. So even the demigods are attracted, because they're being situated in goodness is because of karma. But they still, the passion and ignorance is there, but it's not the prominent, it's not the mode through which they deal. But you see that their enviousness, their jealousy, all these different things are still there. Just they function in an environment of goodness. Though in their consciousness they may have these other aspects. But the devotee, then it will be Shuddha Sattva, so it will be attractive even to the demigods. Yeah. No material planet, even Satyaloka, is comparable in quality to the spiritual planets, where the five inherent qualities of the five of the material world, namely ignorance, misery, egotism, anger, and envy, are completely absent. Five. Ignorance, okay? Misery. Egotism. Egoism. Anger and envy.
Egotism. Illusion is the one mentioned. Out of the six illusions, the one
mentioned. It's not mentioned.
Not mentioned.
In the material world, everything is a creation. Anything we can think of within our experience, including even our own bodies and minds, was created. This process of creation began with the life of Brahma, and the creative principle is prevalent all over the material universe because of the quality of passion. But since the quality of passion is conspicuous by its absence in the Vaikuntha planet, nothing there is created. Everything there is eternally existent. And because there is no mode of ignorance, there is no question of annihilation or destruction. So here's another angle on, you know, our, how you say, our wide range of, how you say, options, like going to a carnival that we get to choose what we do and what we don't, and you know, we can change it, you know, move from one ride to the next, and because we want to create that. I want that. I want that's the mode of passion. Because there, everything's eternal. Nothing's created. So you just purify yourself. You go back to your natural position. No?
Yeah. That's why it's mentioned. I know that I'm joking. I'm going to always. Why would Mahaprabhu say eternal?
Yeah.
Because it's beyond time and space. But previously when you were reading about the 10 directions in the spiritual world, I was thinking there's no time, but we speak about, you know, past, present, and future, and there's no space, but then we speak about 10 directions. Goloka is the highest, and, you know, the 10 avatars and this and that. So, but then it's really a change here.
Well, it's the source of, means reflected here, then everything's restricted. There it's unlimited, because there's no space, because it's unlimited, while here it's limited. Right? Does that make sense? Something unlimited, how do you describe it? Something's limited, now we can talk about it. Oh, that's a very big house, so that's a medium house, that's a real small house. But actually, you know.
Yeah.
Because it all starts from Krishna. You know, it's just like you said, time is the movement of his limbs. You know, directions will be where he's facing, that's east. You know, because if you're in the yoga pit, then you're sitting there, that's there, you know, he was with Radharani, facing forward, that's east. You know, so you have these, otherwise how do you have, you know, the relationships and the pastimes and all that. So that's the uniqueness of Krishna, is that, like you said, you have all these positions that are indescribable, but they're describable. You know, they're unlimited, but they have a particular form and a particular place to a particular action. So that's why he's beyond everything. Everything comes from him, the spiritual and the material, everything. So material is a reflection of the spiritual, but the spiritual still comes from Krishna. So it's the person that's unlimited. You know, that's why in the Ishvapanishad, you know, it's asking for the Lord to please remove that effulgence, because we see that unlimited aspect, but it's coming from a person. There's a person there in the middle of that. So that person is unlimited, but at the same time has his medium-sized form.
Also, if we look closely, right in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, you know, Krishna says, Natveva Hamja Tunasam, there was never time, and you, I, or no. Like, I'm eternal, I am who I am, you are who you are, and all the kings, they are who they are, so there's no anxiety. So immediately Krishna brings us beyond time and space. But probably at that point of study, we don't realize it, we just memorize the shloka, make the and then just continue because we have
check
we
the boxes.
We have to memorize so many shlokas, so we just. But then later, you know, it actually becomes realization, at least partial. But
mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, let's talk about that. Yes.
Also, what the change happens is moving in those four levels of liberation from salokya, means you generally when you get liberated, you are reinstated back in the same place, the abode, as a lord. You may have the same form, but the samitya is where you, the closeness up to the lord is where you can change. Samitya means in the relationship that intensity is ever increasing. It can keep dynamically increasing, but the form, the place is always, it's eternal.
Well, we have a natural relationship. It's just, because anyway, when we're, even whatever relationship you're coming to, you're going to go up through the realizations of the ones below that.
Yeah.
The primary aspects, maybe not the detail of application, but you know, the greatness of the Lord, how everything's the Lord, everything's connected to the Lord, He's controlling everything. And so you appreciate that, that's the shanta. Then there's that mood of possessiveness and wanting to render service, right? Because it means when you have that sense of possessiveness, then there's the anubhava has come to do something, right? And so then that comes, then it'll come up to then that closeness of the Lord, the friendship, and it'll just continue.
But the intensity of that relationship, whatever is the relationship, that is fixed, but intensity is ever increasing.
Oh yeah, intensity is always.
That's the only thing that can always
that change. Always adjusts is that aspect. Yeah, the other then is there. I mean, point is why would you want to change? That's your nature. Because everyone talks about, oh, what about me? But that the point is what about you? You're that, not this. That's the Upanishad, right? You are that. Yeah. You know, so that's the thing is, but they're thinking, oh, but you know, can I bring my, what do you call it, Louboutin shoes with me? You know, like that.
But if you know a female, what are you going to do with them? I mean, you got to be female for that.
True.
All the souls are practicing.
All the souls are
Okay.
There might be. I mean, Lord Chaitanya's pastime says hijras, so maybe you can. You know, I'm not sure if there's a pastime you hear about them in Krishna. So you hear about gypsy. You know, the gypsies are there, and the palomas are there.
Where?
In Vrindavan.
Oh, palindas.
Yeah, the palindas. Did I say palomas? That's one of the sons of Brahma, right?
Yeah.
Paloma, palindas. Yeah, and gypsies, maybe that's also a gypsy, means who brought the fruit seller. Because they go out in the forest, they live in the forest, so all the opulence from the forest, they bring and then sell in Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm. I thought she came from Mathura.
No.
It says it's a gypsy, I know.
What
is it? Yeah, there's always different groups within the forest, so sees the gypsy group because they always move around. I think Palindas stay in their place. Mm-hmm. And so?
Yeah, yeah.
But the Palindas?
No. Because first it seemed like when there's the same body, same planet, so it can be changed because it's like a preliminary state.
Okay. What do you mean? It's just the intensity of the depth of affection. You have the intensity because they're satisfied. Otherwise, Mother means if we're saying, okay, gopis are the highest, why isn't Mother Jashoda wanting to be a gopi or Nanda Baba or the cowherd boys? They're fully satisfied. Because the point of Krishna's pleased, you're pleased. So if you have that nature, you're going to be happy doing that for Krishna. So it's not because generally we're looking at it, we're thinking about profit and prestige. That's our motive, and how you know, can I choose and this and that. It's a matter of just what is the nature. Why worry about it until you get there? You know, get there, see. If you don't like it, then we can discuss.
Yeah, I was thinking also,
First get liberated, then we can talk.
Yeah, that the anxiety, you know, takes different forms on different levels of development of a person. Like, for example, in the beginning, we worry, and then anxiety, do we have an Ekadas Bhav or not? That's the main worry. Maybe
that was the first worry. I thought the first worry is there's going to be all of them left after a soup.
Yes. I mean, that's the worry after meal.
Oh, okay. After the primary. Also, we worry whether we'll get a samosa. If more people come, then they only cook so many samosas that we won't get. You know, so.
Yeah.
Because guests first.
After meal and anxiety, whether we actually have it. Then, you know, after some years of practice, understand, yeah, we have it. It's fine. But then the next level is, what is it?
What is it?
Then you know, whether we get the Ekadas Bhava initiation or not, that's a different topic. But then we move further.
Well, one has to understand that the Ekadas Bhava, that's on the platform of Bhagavat, means you're already liberated, so then it has some meaning.
Yeah.
That's why if you're not liberated, you have Pancharatrik.
Yeah.
If you know that stuff, then you don't have those anxieties. And if you don't know,
then... there's always those that know and then take advantage of it to use it for their, you know, own benefit.
But then the last, like we're talking about now, is that whether I can change it or not. What I mean, and as you mentioned...
Yeah, and how long is the, you know, it looks like you have a, you know, 10 days you can return policy or stuff like that. So.
Something you can return in a month?
Yeah. Yeah, some things that are more expensive, like it's a month, regular things is 10 days. Manu mentions 10 days. This is standard.
Maybe that's why they're so successful, following the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's 10 days. Yeah, because it's not 2 weeks, it's not like this, it's 10 days. But that's what he mentioned. Everybody has 10 days that if they buy something, they decide that, you know, if they have buyer's regret or whatever it is, they can return it. As long as it's in the good condition. Okay, so. Yeah, well, like you said, it's once you get to, oh, like you said, once you get to that platform, you don't have those anxieties.
But also, I was thinking it spoils the experience if we get prematurely, which, you know, many people actually do, unfortunately. If we get, it's the same, because, you know, now is the wedding season.
Really? I didn't know this.
You didn't know this?
No, I just joined. It's right there. How could I not notice?
Yesterday it was like...
Yeah, yeah, the rockies going, and then there's other programs. Yeah. And it's, yeah,
I was thinking about you yesterday. We went to the kirtan, the MCS hall, and the whole thing was happening here. And I was thinking, what is Maharaj is like?
Yeah, yeah. That's why I keep my windows closed. You know,
so yeah, you need the sound, waterproof, I don't know, windows, walls. But then I was thinking that if we follow the tradition, you know, even on the mundane platform, then the, you know, when the couple, you know, boy and the girl get together, then the erotic principle between male and female manifests in a natural form.
Okay.
And you know, it is what it is. And obviously people want it to be, okay. People want that experience.
Yes.
But if we prematurely as a kids getting into that,
mm-hmm.
erotic principle,
mm-hmm.
then when it comes actually for the experience, it's spoiled. It isn't there anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just...
Well, because you're looking at it through the material senses, so it will have all the weaknesses of the material senses, you know, of getting, you know, having a past, present, and a future. You know, it's controlled by time and space. Mm-hmm. So it won't be. And someone even once mentioned, even on the material platform, a study was done that those who did not live together before marriage, their marriages were more stable than those who did live together. Mm-hmm. Percentages of, you know, in other words, they lived together, the possibility of not working was quite strong. Well, if they never did live together, then it was more strong to work.
Yeah.
then a couple, they live together for 10 years, got married separately.
You know.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why you do all the figuring out in marriage. It's more, it's exciting. Yeah, so that's why it's not recommended to get involved in those things beforehand. Otherwise, then one gets distracted. But since the quality of passion is conspicuous by its absence in the Vaikuntha planets, nothing there is created. Everything there is eternally existent. And because there is no mode of ignorance, there is also no question of annihilation or destruction. In the material world, one may try to make everything permanent by developing the above-mentioned qualities of goodness. But because the goodness in the material world is mixed with passion and ignorance, nothing here can exist permanently, despite all the good plans of the best scientific brains. Therefore, in the material world, we have no experience of eternity, bliss, and fullness of knowledge. But in the spiritual world, because of the complete absence of the qualitative modes, everything is eternal, blissful, and cognizant. Everything can speak, everything can move, everything can hear. And everything can see in fully blessed existence for eternity. The situation being so, naturally space and time, in the forms of past, present, future, have no influence there. In the spiritual sky, there is no change because time has no influence. Consequently, the influence of Maya, the total external energy, which induces us to become more and more materialistic and forget our relationship with God, is also absent there. As spiritual sparks of the beams emanating from the transcendental body of the Lord, we are all permanently related with Him and equal to Him in quality. The material energy is a covering of the spiritual spark. But in the absence of that material covering, the living beings in Vaikuntha are never forgetful of their identities. They are eternally cognizant of their relationship with God in their constitutional position of rendering transcendental loving service to the Lord. Because they constantly engage in the transcendental service of the Lord, it is natural to conclude that their senses are also transcendental, for one cannot serve the Lord with material senses. The inhabitants of Vaikuntha Loka do not possess material senses with which to lord it over material nature. Persons with a poor fund of knowledge conclude that a place void of material qualities must be some sort of formless nothingness. In reality, however, there are qualities in the spiritual world, but they are different from the material qualities because everything there is eternal, unlimited, and pure. The atmosphere there is self-illuminating, and thus there is no need of a sun, a moon, fire, electricity, and so on. One who can reach that abode does not come back to the material world with the material body. There is no difference between atheists and the faithful in the Vaikuntha planets because all who settle there are free from the material qualities. And thus, suras and asuras become equally obedient, loving servitors of the Lord. So no matter what your position here, doesn't matter, once you go to Vaikuntha, then everything's the same. Right? Something. Yeah. The residents of Vaikuntha have brilliantly black complexions, much more fascinating and attractive than the dull white and black complexions found in the material world. Their bodies, being spiritual, have no equals in the material world. The beauty of a bright cloud, when lightning flashes on it, merely hints at that their beauty. Generally, the inhabitants of Vaikuntha dress in yellow clothing. Their bodies are delicate and attractively built, and their eyes are like the petals of lotus flowers. Like Lord Vishnu, the residents of Vaikuntha have four hands decorated with a conch shell, wheel, club, and lotus flower. Their chests are beautifully broad and fully decorated with necklaces of a brilliant diamond-like metal, surrounded by costly jewels never to be found in the material world. The residents of Vaikuntha are always powerful and effulgent. Some of them have complexions like red coral
Some of them have complexions like red coral, cat's eyes, and lotus flowers. Red coral probably is probably red coral, comma, cat's eyes, comma, and lotus flowers. Because you don't have red coral, cat's eyes.
Yeah.
Cat's eyes is its own.
Yeah.
And lotus flowers. Each of them has earrings of costly jewels. On their heads they wear flowery crowns resembling garlands. In the Vaikunthas there are airplanes, but they make no tumultuous sounds. Material airplanes are not at all safe. They can fall down and crash at any time, for matter is imperfect in every respect. In the spiritual sky, however, the airplanes are also spiritual, and they are spiritually brilliant and bright. These airplanes do not fly business executives, politicians, or planning commissions as passengers, nor do they carry cargo or postal bags, for these are all unknown there. These planes are for pleasure trips only, and the residents of Vaikuntha fly in them with their heavenly beautiful fairy-like consorts. Therefore, these airplanes, full of residents of Vaikuntha, both male and female, increase the beauty of the spiritual sky. We cannot imagine how beautiful they are, but their beauty may be compared to the clouds in the sky, accompanied by silver branches of electric lightning. The spiritual sky of Vaikuntha Loka is always decorated in this way. The full opulence of the internal potency of Godhead is always resplendent in Vaikuntha Loka, where goddesses of fortune are ever increasingly attached to serving the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead. These goddesses of fortune, accompanied by their friends, always create a festive atmosphere of transcendental mirth. Always singing the glories of the Lord, they are not silent even for a moment. There are unlimited Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky, and the ratio of these planets to the material planets in the material sky is 3 to 1. Thus, the poor materialist is busy making political adjustments on a planet that is most insignificant in God's creation, to say nothing of this planet Earth, the whole universe, with innumerable planets throughout the galaxies, is comparable to a single mustard seed in a big bag full of mustard seeds. But the poor materialist makes plans to live comfortably there, here, and thus wastes valuable human energy in something that is doomed to frustration. Instead of wasting his time with business speculations, he should seek the life of plain living and high spiritual thinking, and thus save himself from perpetual materialistic unrest. Even if a materialist wants to enjoy develop material facilities, he can transfer himself to planets where he can experience material pleasures much more advanced than those available on Earth. The best plan is to prepare oneself to return to the spiritual sky after leaving the body. However, if one is intent on enjoying material facilities, one can transfer himself to other planets in the material sky by utilizing yogic powers. The playful spaceships of the astronauts are but childish entertainments and are of no use for this purpose. The Astanga Yoga system is a materialistic art of controlling air by transferring it from the stomach to the navel, from the navel to the heart, from the heart to the collarbone, from there to the eyeballs, from there to the cerebellum, and from there to any desired planet. The velocities of air and light are taken into consideration by the material scientist, but he has no information of the velocity of the mind and intelligence. We have some limited experience of the velocity of the mind, because in a moment we can transfer our minds to places hundreds of thousands of miles away. Intelligence is even finer. Finer intelligence is the soul, which is not matter like mind and intelligence, but is spirit or antimatter. The soul is hundreds of thousands of times finer and more powerful than intelligence. We can thus only imagine the velocity of the soul in its traveling from one planet to another. Needless to say, the soul travels by its own strength and not with the help of any kind of material vehicle. The bestial civilization of eating, sleeping, fearing, and sense gratifying has misled modern man into forgetting how powerful a soul he has. As we have already described, the soul is a spiritual spark, many, many times more illuminating, dazzling, and powerful than the sun, moon, or electricity. Human life is spoiled when man does not realize his real identity with his soul. Lord Chaitanya appeared with Lord Nityananda to save man from this type of misleading civilization. Materialists who perform yajnas or great sacrifices are comparatively better than grosser materialists who do not know anything about laboratories and test tubes.
Anything beyond?
Anything beyond, yes. I was thinking. That seems to be quite a jump there. We do not know anything beyond laboratories and test tubes. The advanced materialists who perform such sacrifices can reach the planets called Vaishvanara, a fiery planet similar to the sun. On this planet, which is situated on the way to Brahmaloka, the topmost planet in the universe, such an advanced materialist can free himself from all traces of vice and its effects. When such a materialist is purified, he can rise to the orbit of the pole star, Dhruvaloka. Within this orbit, which is called Shishumara Chakra, are situated the Aditya Lokas and the Vaikuntha planet within this universe. A purified materialist has performed many sacrifices, undergone severe penances, and given the majority portion of his wealth in charity, can reach such planets as Dhruvaloka if he becomes still more qualified there. He can penetrate still higher orbits and pass through the navel of the universe to reach the planet Maharloka, where sages like Bhrigu Muni live. In Maharloka, one can live even to the time of the partial annihilation of the universe. This annihilation begins when Anantadev, from the lowest position in the universe, produces a great blazing fire. The heat of this fire reaches even Maharloka, and then the residents of Maharloka travel to Brahmaloka, which exists for twice the duration of a Parardha time. In Brahmaloka, there is an unlimited number of airplanes that are controlled not by yantra, machine, but by mantra, psychic action. Because of the existence of the mind and intelligence on Brahmaloka, its residents have feelings of happiness and distress, but there is no cause of lamentation, old age, death, fear, or distress. They feel compact sympathy, however, for the suffering beings who are consumed in the fire of annihilation. The residents of Brahmaloka do not have gross material bodies to change at death, but they transform their subtle bodies into spiritual bodies and thus enter the spiritual sky. The residents of Brahmaloka can attain perfection in three different ways. Various persons who reach Brahmaloka by dint of their pious work become masters of various planets after the resurrection of Brahma. Those who have worshipped Garbhodaksha Vishnu are liberated with Brahma, and those who are pure devotees of the personality of Godhead at once push through the covering of the universe and enter the spiritual sky. The numberless universe of resurrection of Brahma, does that mean that in the morning?
No, I think not. So they become primordial demigods.
Demigods, yeah. That, or they stay with Brahma and then when he leaves, they go.
Or they directly go to
spirit. Or the devotees directly go. The numberless universes exist together in foam-like clusters. And so only some of them are surrounded by the water of the causal ocean. When agitated by the glance of Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, material nature produces the total elements, which are eight in number and which gradually evolve from finer to gross. A part of ego is the sky, a part of which is air, a part of which is fire, a part of which is water, a part of which is earth. Thus one universe inflates to an area of 4 billion miles in diameter. A yogi who desires gradual liberation must penetrate all the different coverings of the universe, including the subtle coverings of the three qualitative modes of material nature. One who does this never has to return to this mortal world. According to Sukadeva Goswami, the above description of the material and spiritual skies is neither imaginary nor utopian. The actual facts are recorded in the Vedic hymns, and Lord Vasudeva disclosed them to Lord Brahma when Brahma satisfied him. One can achieve the perfection of life only when he has a definite idea of Vaikuntha and the Supreme Godhead. One should always think about and describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for this is recommended in both the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavad Purana, which are two authorized commentaries upon the Vedas. Lord Chaitanya has made all these subject matters easier for the fallen people of this age to accept, and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita has therefore presented them for the easy understanding of all concerned. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 522 purport.
Explain everything.
Yeah.
But also Srila Prabhupada says easy. It's not that easy, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the beginning, there's a dense philosophy, you know, in the Adi Lila. Then it goes even further in the Madhya Lila. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, in the Aditya Lila, all the controversial things are there.
Mm-hmm. So well, that being says you have to clear all that. You're switching from the material to the spiritual, but at the same time as then whatever residue is left, then you're engaging that in the Lord's service, and then coming to that platform. But then there'll be all those seemingly contradictory, you know, things that are there to deal with once you get up to there. Because otherwise, before you only look at the side which you works for you and which is fine. But at some point you have to give up everything, and so then those contradictory elements that are looked at, you know. So that's the, you know, it's just like a ninth canto, it deals with all that.
Yeah, before the tenth.
Yeah, before the tenth, but then also to refine it, then the 11th canto deals with, you know, a finer definitions, you know, the direct and also, you know, all the, you know, other aspects of the contradiction. Because there's a principle at work there, you know. So it's light, like just like, let's say, Prabhupada was discussing in Nectar Devotion about the that principle is that everything is done to please Krishna. So even if it appearingly is against the moral principle, still it's done to please Krishna. So Prabhupada makes a very strong point about the, you know, means whenever you're doing things, even on the material platform, like he gives the example in war, they do things that just aren't, you know, proper. But, you know, to win the war for, you know, some higher purpose. So he's using the, you know, really heavy, you know, kind of examples so that you understand it's not about, you know, morality or religion. It's about bhakti.
Yeah.
Then you see when he goes into bhakti and then gives actual examples from how it's applied. It's very minor things, like the gopis leaving their homes and all that and going, you know, to meet Krishna in the rasa dance. You know, something sense. So Yudhishthira telling the lie about Ashwatthama is dead. You know, mild. But the examples that he gives before that to remove the attachment to the platform of morality are very strong.
Yeah.
You know. Because we take it, no, it's important. Oh, that's not so bad, you know. Because for us, we won't see leaving the homes and going to Krishna as a bad thing. But I've seen Indians, you know, from pious backgrounds, they can't relate to Krishna because of this. They'll only serve, they're devotees, but they'll only serve Ram. They can't relate to Krishna at all. Yeah. You know, the husband's, you know, an ISKCON Hare Krishna devotee. And the wife's just not, you know, she'll go and do all the things that, like that, that her worship is only wrong because he follows all the rules.
Yeah. Mariada means,
yeah.
What's that name? Etiquette.
Yeah, like following all that.
So he's like,
yeah. So then he shows that. But then that's where those points comes up, goes more, because it's about that enthusiasm. So we see is that enthusiasm is very important. As long as it's natural, like the old lady who wanted to see Jagannath and climbed on Lord Chaitanya's shoulders, it wasn't that she made a calculated thing. She just saw, she wants to see someone standing here and climbing up on top to see. So that's why Lord Chaitanya didn't mind, because it was actual affection, you know, just that attraction, trying to, like that. As Subhadamidhar pointed out, is, you know, you can stand on someone else's shoulder. You know, stand up.
you know, you don't stand on the shoulder of the person that you're trying to look at, you know, so.
Govinda.
Hmm?
It was Govinda.
Govinda said.
Okay. Yeah.
She became embarrassed, actually.
Yeah, because then when she thinks about it, of course, but at the moment she didn't, so that's why Lord Chaitanya didn't take it seriously. So that kind of aspect is that when it's exclusive, they're just thinking about Krishna, they're not thinking about the secondary things of Dharma.
Which being is a pretend, very exclusive.
Yeah, yeah. They push, they scream, they, you know, they really focus on their own thing. Never mind everybody else.
Yeah, yeah.
But they point it out to them, usually.
Yeah, yeah, of course. They're just so enthusiastic
and
everything.
And they continue to do the same thing.
They continue their own program.
Yeah, yeah. That's why it means. In Panchatattva temple, you have the temple room floor, right? Then you keep going back, it hits some steps. Mm-hmm. And on those steps, there's some columns. If you stand behind there, then no problem. And Radha Madhava, just those columns in front of Prabhupada's, you know, or something else, you just stand back there. Or one or two columns in front of that. Generally, one in front you can stand. And you miss all that. So that's the easiest. And if it's really bad, then you go on between Prabhupada and the what do you call it? The
corridor.
Yeah, but the relief, the artwork is.
Yeah, yeah.
That back towards the door, you can still see Radha Madhava.
Yeah.
But no one will move back there because it doesn't go anywhere. So if it's really bad festival, you go back there.
Once it was so bad that there is a railing. You know, there's a metal pipe.
Yeah, yeah.
I hid behind the pipe. I went inside.
Oh, between the pipe and the artwork.
Yeah, and the artwork. Then they don't mush me. Actually,
okay.
So that protected.
Well, that's a good. I never thought of that. I never had it that bad.
That was extreme. I mean, once I did it.
But that's interesting. I never thought of that as an alternative. Good thinking.
The problem in India is anywhere they go to visit a holy place, they have to be in line. There should be a lot of people. So for them,
it's part of the rasa.
It's part of the rasa.
You have to go and push. Otherwise, you don't get the taste.
It's like loud music.
Yeah.
Same. Same. It's not loud enough. It's not
effective. Yeah. I heard in when you go for darshan in Natji. That you don't even touch the ground. You don't have to walk, nothing. You just relax and just stare. The crowd is so packed that you'll just end up inside.
In Haridwar, what's the temple there? Up somewhere, it goes, you can go with the... Funicular or something.
Funicular is the little cabin that on the cable you go.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure how you call it in English.
Cable? I don't know if they're. No, cable
like
cars.
Cable
I think.
Train or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it was small temple. It was so bad pre-COVID that at one point when you had to go around, you know, the whole thing was just going and very very
narrow
corridor. So I didn't touch the ground.
No? Just her?
No, I was just carried away, and my mom was there, and Lali was there, and she was small. It was real easy.
Yeah, you just have to keep their heads up so they get air. So.
Mm-hmm. No, once you get into that, then you just don't walk. And
yeah, yeah.
Then
when you're around the corner, when you hit the ground again, you start walking again.
Just head over to the process.
Yeah, so then you've had the full experience.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.